Phil Hendry Show brought to you by ABC. Don't miss the premiere of 10-8 Officers on Duty this Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
These couples retreats are very popular. Dean Wheeler and his wife, Gwen Wheeler, who are sex therapists in Mill Valley, California, operate a couples weekend called Sparking the Marriage or Resparking the Marriage. Dean, thanks for joining us. The basis of this is what?
First of all, Phil, thank you for having us on. We're excited to be on the air across the country to talk about the work we're doing here at Kaiser Chateau. But the work we're doing is really simple. It's about the unspoken truth behind women and what makes them happy when it comes to sex and intimate sex that women enjoy. And I found this out from my wife, Gwen, about 8 years ago. She suggested to me that she would enjoy it were I to make love to her in a more aggressive way. So we're talking about aggressive sex. We're talking about a woman being able to let her fantasies go and imagine herself being taken in a rough, not a rough way, but in an aggressive way. And most women are afraid to express this. Most women are so frightened to express their desire to have an unusually aggressive sexual encounter with their husband that they don't even know they have this. Most women are afraid to express it to their husbands because they don't want to intimidate them.
All right, let's be clear. What do you mean by aggressive? We're not talking about rape.
No, not at all. No, we're talking, it's completely different from that world, Phil, because rape is violence. We're talking about lovemaking, but finally giving women what they want and being very vocal about it. Women are embarrassed to ask their husbands for this.
Tell me, without being too graphic, what is it that we're talking about here? A woman wanting an aggressive sexual encounter with her husband or her boyfriend? Or
whoever, any man that she's willing to have it. We're talking about there is role-playing going on. I can tell you that some couples that we encounter enjoy, the wife enjoys the husband to dress up as if he's a telephone repairman or one of the men working outside in construction work, and he's decided to come into the house to ask to use the bathroom, and he takes her there on the bed.
So she's fantasizing this?
Yes, she fantasizes this. What we do...
Are you at your retreat right now?
No, Phil, I'm in San Francisco. I'm at a workout center that Gwen and I use. But we are planning on heading up there tomorrow for our weekend seminar.
All right, you said that aggressive sex is something that women dare not ask for, right?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because they're embarrassed. They're afraid their husband might consider them to be a little off. They're afraid it will intimidate their husband. But once they learn as a couple the secret desire of a woman, that at times she wants it rough and she wants it a little dirty and nasty.
What about women? You've talked about men. The women know they want this. You said that some cases they don't?
I'm sorry, Phil.
All right. Do women know they want sex aggressively, or...
I think some women know and they dare not ask for it. I think other women have pushed it so far back. I think it's a deep, gnawing need in every woman to have a man pin their arms to the bed with his knees and grab the back of her head by the hair and really show her the other side and the fun that she really wants to have.
All right, I want to be clear. Women secretly desire to have their arms pinned.
Well, I don't know what her fantasy is. In my wife's case, she wanted me to get into a work shirt and construction boots and pretend like I was somebody who was there to deliver mail, and that I just sort of took her right there on the porch to our house.
How do we know, Mr. Wheeler, that you're saying, I don't know women...
Well, let me ask you, have you ever had this experience?
Excuse me?
Have you, Phil, ever had this experience?
Well, I don't want to say, okay? I'm, it's nothing that... It's not about me.
Well, I think that's a clear yes, isn't it?
This conversation, Mr. Wheeler, is not about me. This is about your... this seminar or this...
Well, no, it's a couples workshop, Phil. It's a retreat to get women to find the way to ask their husbands for the thing that they really wanted, I think, in sex... Because all of this submissiveness, all of this passiveness, all of this romance, all of this, the overemphasis on things being soft and gentle, really insults a woman. I think women finally have to be respected. I think we need to hear them. They are crying out to have a man be aggressive, to dominate, abusive to a point. But men don't give it to women the way they like it because men have been told it's wrong. And
All right, well, there you go. I think at the bottom line, most men would have a difficult time doing that because they'd wonder if she's serious.
Well, at our workshop, which we have in Mill Valley, women are encouraged to unblock and give themselves. We're not just talking about dressing like a cop or anything like that. The aggressive sexual role-playing we engage in includes allowing a woman for the first time in her life to indulge in the fantasy about having sex with a serial murderer or a Ted Bundy type. Someone who has broken into the house for money because they're on crack. And these are fantasies that women want to have. And
well, are you saying a husband dresses up like a crack addict?
I'm saying wherever her mind wants to go, go there with her, because women secretly fantasize about this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dean Wheeler. He is with the Sparking the Marriage Workshop in Mill Valley, happening this weekend and the following weekend, about the secret desire of women to have aggressive sex. How often does a woman want aggressive sex?
Well, I suspect a lot, because she doesn't get it from the average American man. He's too... the American man, it's unfortunate, has been beaten into submission. He's had any tendency to give a woman this, beaten out of him by an increasingly, and forgive me, but an increasingly lesbian-dominated women's liberation movement. And so any instinct that a man may have to give a woman, a lot of African-American women, just to give an example, they would never tell their husbands this, but these are black women who fantasize sometimes about being taken by an Aryan youth, a Nazi youth, a skinhead who...
You're telling me the African-American...
I've talked to some black women, yes.
That she wants to be taken by an Aryan, by a skinhead.
Yeah, and the same thing with white women who have this sexual desire. Some of them have told me they want to have sex... but with a black cab driver, just aggressive things like that. And women don't want to make love on rose petals. They would rather get their get it hard on a kitchen table, on a wood floor, or have their husbands dressed like a plumber and just throw them onto the floor.
So in other words, there is a rape fantasy.
No, it is not. We're trying to take the term cuddle out of people's sexual lives. And it's so belittling and unsatisfying for women. Let's cuddle. Let's spoon. When all a woman wants is to have a man grab the hair, the back of her head, as he pins her arms with his knees, and just say, you see anything you like, you go right ahead and start working, which, you know.
Wow. I mean...
Well, you say wow because you're a typical American man who has had his aggressive sexuality drummed out of him by the lesbian cadre that runs the National Organization of Women.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is a lot to process, you know?
Absolutely, Phil. That's why we have our workshop.
I mean, you're claiming that women are fantasizing out there. It's not rape, I understand, but they want aggressive sex. Why don't they just tell their husbands?
Because they don't want to intimidate their husbands.
Because American men can't deal with that?
No, absolutely not. I mean, some may, but... American men have been told this is wrong, and if you do it, you are going to jail, and the women that are telling them that don't even like having sex with men. They prefer having sex with other unshaven women.
All right. Please don't get into a jag here where we're knocking lesbians, though.
Well, no, I'm not. But I'm telling you, that's why American men don't want to be aggressive with women. They're afraid my wife kids me, she said some big dyke's going to come around the corner with a board, with a 2x4. No, I think that what American men need to do is to tell them, I know you want it this way, and pin their arms to the bed, and, unshaven, maybe you haven't bathed, maybe your hands are dirty, maybe your breath stinks of garlic and wine, and as if you're almost like a gardener who decided to come in to use the bathroom. And
all right, what is this about? Why do women fantasize about wanting to be taken by a gardener, a plumber? What is that about?
I think they're so bored with the button-down men in their lives, these men who go off to the office, everything at clockwork, that when they look out and see a gardener, a Hispanic man, maybe in his 50s, it heats them up. They burn for something that maybe he's got. I don't know, to be honest with you. All I know, this is why they want it.
Well, like I said, it's a lot to process, man. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Dean Wheeler. Now, he and his wife have started a workshop for couples that encourages women to be honest about their desire for a more aggressive sexual encounter at times. A lot of it is really spooky. I said to him, you know, does this encourage rape? He said, no, it's not rape. It is aggressive sex where the wives want their husbands to dress up like telephone repairmen, to dress up like gardeners, to dress up like plumbers. One other question before we go to break, Dean. Why is this necessary?
Why
is it necessary? I mean, why not just let them discover it on their own?
Phil, it's a good question. Today, 50% of all marriages end with divorce. That is a disgrace. It's a disgrace for our country. It's a disgrace for the marriage institution. In the year 2000, there were some 980,000 divorces in the United States. For every 1 million or 2 million, I should say, marriages. So marriage is in big trouble. Marriage is on the downhill slide. And women are to blame, mostly, because they won't be honest with men and say, I need, every now and again, for you to put on some gardening gloves, for you to rub axle grease on your face, for you not to bathe, and for you to just take me like a stinking animal while my husband is at work, like the fag that he is. Excuse my language, Phil, but this is...
Are you saying that the women are talking this way about their husbands?
Yes. Yeah, in their fantasy. They want a dirty, filthy gardener to take them while that faggot husband of theirs is off with his secretary somewhere. That's the fantasy, and that's what's exciting for them.
It's hateful. It's
okay, you're coming off like a... Oh, Jesus.
What?
It's hateful. See, this is what you do. It's hateful. You sound like a beaten into submission, lesbian-dominated American male. And I'm trying to break you of the habit. I'm trying to break all men of the habit.
Well, so you're insulting me.
No, Phil, just stop while you're ahead. Just stop it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Why is there a need to tell women to let their aggressive sexual side come out because, marriage is ending in divorce? Does your marriage need this? Do you see other women who need this? Do women want to express to their husbands that they'd like their sex rough and aggressive at times, but they're just too afraid to intimidate their husbands? Dean Wheeler and his wife run a workshop in Mill Valley, California that teaches men and women how to engage in aggressive, rough sex and re-sparking their marriage. He says most men are afraid to ask their wives if they want it that way because they're dominated mostly by a lesbian women's liberation movement, and the women are too afraid to ask their husbands because they think their husbands are too weak to deal with it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking here with Dean Wheeler and his wife is Gwen. Is Gwen with you?
Gwen comes to all the seminars with us, Phil, yeah.
And the seminars and the weekend is about women expressing their need for aggressive sex. We're not talking about violence, but you did say that African-American women, some harbor a fantasy about being taken by a Nazi skinhead.
I found that, and I study the fantasy life of women very carefully so that we know when we have our seminars on weekends that we're directing our energies and directing our discussions in the right way. Many black women that I have talked with, this is going to sound, but I don't think it's sick. I think it's just they want to have some fun. They fantasize about being made love to or being aggressively taken by a man in a sheet or in a hood.
Are you kidding me? Are you talking?
No, but there's nothing about that that's wrong. I think that...
Well, oh, my God, it sounds like she's a...
There, well, hold on for a minute, Phil. Hold on. Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. I tell all the men this. Oh, my God. Did you hear yourself there?
Well, what I'm saying is...
No, but did you hear yourself? That's exactly what women can't stand. And the pandering to them, Phil, and what you're doing right now... Oh, my God. You're acting gay and fag-like, and...
But please, okay, let's not start...
No, I'm using the words that women use. This is the language they use. I don't think you are. Oh, my God! This is, you know, exactly what a woman doesn't want. Go home to her. Put on a dirty work shirt. Put on some boots. My wife enjoys me wearing, and again, I don't want to bring my own life, a leather jacket and black cowboy boots and nothing else. And she wants me to take her that way. Or leave my boots on during lovemaking. These kinds of things.
All right, I don't like being called a fag.
I'm sorry, Phil, and I'm nothing against our gay friends. I'm saying that's how women think when you do that. Oh, I have to protect the sensitivity of my women. It's just gay in a negative way.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Eileen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Eileen.
Hi there.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes. I would like to say to Mr. Wheeler, number one,
uh-huh.
I am appalled at you attacking Phil like that.
Phil needed it.
You know what? I'm sorry, but you and your wife, respectively, whatever you like to do in your own bedroom, that's fine.
Yes.
I've been married for 34 years.
Well, wonderful.
I am quite happy. If my husband ever attempted to put his knees on my arms and pull me by the hair... I'm sorry. It would be over.
Well, no, you
I
have to
cuddling.
Approve of it. You have to approve of it. I'm not saying take you forcefully, but let's get rid of the word cuddle, Eileen.
I love cuddle.
Oh, but
and you know what? You're going to get most women who are so sick of men, not my husband, but are so sick of men just getting on and getting off. Pardon that.
Well,
if that's
well, Eileen, no,
that's
Eileen, that's
thing.
Not. This is for the woman. This is not for the men.
Yeah, I
imagine
know it's for the woman.
The sexual excitement that you can have being.
But you are way out of the park, man. I'm sorry.
No.
You are.
Are you telling me that you don't have any desire for a man wearing a telephone lineman
not.
Uniform to take you from behind?
Take me on the porch.
Yes.
Where are you from? What planet?
Ma'am, these
I am
are
so
discussions.
Upset. I'm
these
sorry,
are these are discussions
I hope
I've
other
had.
Women call because.
Eileen, come on, dear. If your husband caresses your cheek one more time, I bet you're about to burst out crying because he's
absolutely
so boring.
Absolutely not. We sit, we hold hands, we watch movies.
Oh, my God.
A woman
that
loves a tender
husband.
Touch. She does
you
not like
girl.
Aggressive men.
Eileen, I ask you this because I want you to be happy. I know you're happy. But
I
until
am.
You know the joy of rope burn, when
no,
your husband puts a rope
burn.
No, wait a minute. Are you,
I'm
what
sorry
are you,
if I'm
no,
yelling, but
no.
I am so upset.
No, Eileen, I'm not saying that he does
wait,
it on purpose.
We're
saying,
talking Nazi,
no, if you're black,
whatever,
if you're a black woman.
I can't even think of the words, I'm so mad.
If you're a black woman, there are fantasies that African-American women report where they like being taken by a man wearing a swastika
good for
armband.
Them. That's wonderful, if that makes them happy.
Okay, let me jump in if I could, Eileen. This is Phil Hendry.
A very little percent
right.
of the women of
let me
there.
Let me jump in here. I want to ask a question. When you say
I
that
have
the,
many friends.
Hold on. Eileen, hold on.
Yes.
Dean, first of all, what is the point of the rope burn?
When, this is when the woman wants to do it. The man can be the cowboy and she can be the Indian. An Indian
well,
squaw.
That's wonderful for them.
All right, be an Indian squaw that he takes.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
I like my hands. I like my arms and my wrists. I don't want somebody.
No, no, I mean a rope burn on your rear end is wonderful.
Did you have a wild sex last night? Oh,
Eileen,
no.
If your husband came at you in a werewolf mask, what if your husband came at you in a werewolf mask with a kitchen knife? This is what we're talking
about. I would call the cops.
All right, Eileen.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Women like aggressive sex occasionally, and they're too afraid to ask for it. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Dean Wheeler and his wife operating Spark, Resparking the Marriage. Women like aggressive sex occasionally, and they're afraid to ask for it. There's a lawsuit that was filed against your organization, isn't there?
You know something, Phil? That was something I told your producer I didn't want to speak about because it is...
No, I just want to ask you, the accusation in the suit is that you held a scalpel to a woman's throat?
That is so unfair of you.
Well, I want you to tell me what the...
What happened was this. This was a couple, Gene and Dick Burton, and they had come to our workshop, and I wanted to step in and to show Dick what we're talking about because he was very reticent to get involved, and she was very willing to have this aggressive encounter. And so I broke into their room one night, which is part of the exercise and language of our seminar, and I was dressed at that time. My role-playing was an escaped lunatic from an insane asylum. I had a half of a hospital gown on, and yes, I had a scalpel.
And you took her sexually?
Well, if you call it rape.
Well, that's what she's claiming it was.
Excuse me, what is she doing at my workshop if she doesn't like it good and hard?
You're dressed as an escaped lunatic. You've got a scalpel. She said you held it to one of her eyes?
Yes, that's what part of the role-playing is.
And you tied her arms with a stethoscope?
That's what part of the role-playing is. And I resent violently you bringing this up without the context of my attorney.
All right, I'm sorry for that, sir. I
just think it's so wrong.
But you're not denying any of these things.
In the context of our workshop, no.
All right, here's Sandy. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi, Phil.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
Dean, I got to tell you, man, you don't have a clue. You know, you the basics between aggressive and assertive, and you don't have a clue. You think you're speaking for women?
Sandy, I will
you
not be intimidated by a lesbian. I will not be intimidated by the lesbian cadre within the women.
Lesbian.
That's
you know
right.
What? You're queer. That's you're, what the problem
okay.
is.
Are you gay? Are you gay?
No, I am all woman.
Okay, then you know that... Oh, really? Okay. All right. That was a slap to all the lesbians out there, Phil. I just want...
Well, you're the guy that's been saying the lesbian cadre that runs the National Organization of Women doesn't want your workshop.
No, they do not. But I will say this. Women like it rough, some of them. Sandy, if you're too afraid to admit that side of you, that's your problem, not mine.
You are dirty. You are nothing but
listen
dirty.
To you. I bet you'd
and
like
I think
a dirty
you must
boy.
Suffer from, you know, having like, a lack of a penis.
I bet you'd like it from a dirty guy, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mr. Henry, don't pander to these women. They don't want some gay
I
ass.
I can't believe that people would pay to attend a workshop. Like, you should be
I can
paying
tell,
them.
I can tell that you'd love it. I can tell
love
by
it.
The sound of your voice.
You
love
make
it.
Me sick.
All right, specifically,
and I'm sitting
Sandy.
Right with my husband,
Sandy,
and you make him sick.
Sandy, specifically.
Well, you know what? You're both in denial.
All right, hold on for a minute.
Denial.
Hold on for a minute. Specifically, what is it of what he said that you take issue with? Do you deny that some women want aggressive sex, or is it that he goes too far?
No,
what
assertive.
Is it?
Assertive. Big difference between aggressive and assertive.
All right, well,
I love
assertive.
I like to be
assertive,
and I like it when my husband's
all right.
assertive. But aggressive,
is, no.
He's just dirty. He's
no.
putting a dirty slant
all right, I would
on
ask,
all of it.
I would ask you, Dean, what would you call assertive?
Well, I agree. Assertive is taking the back of your hand and slapping her across the face before you engage in sex. This is fun for couples. And
fun.
Listening to her, I would love to tie her up and have a lit cigarette.
Well, what are we talking about? Torture?
No, but in her case.
All right, Sandy, thanks very much. 1-800-449...
That woman was a classic evil border guard using the peasant woman's baguette to pleasure her. That we would do that. So
you would role play with her as a...
I'd be the border guard, and she'd be the peasant woman trying to flee the oppression of a dictatorship. And I would force her to have sex with me so that she could gain her freedom. And she'd love it. And that husband she's with right now, why don't you just go off and get yourself a cup of coffee, pal? It'll be a couple hours.
Oh, man. You want guys to get pissed at you, don't you? You want...
No, but in that case...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Women wanting aggressive sex. You are quoted here as saying, that you don't feel that you are having a successful weekend unless you hear someone being slapped?
No, no. What I said was, a few Saturdays ago, I was sitting with my wife, and we are having our workshop. And this would be something that would be understandably, if you're doing a kind of work, this might frighten you. But in the context of our weekend, the sound of someone being slapped, the sound of a woman crying, glass breaking, the smell of burned hair, these are all good sounds when you're in the line of work that I'm in. And these are the ones we like at our workshop.
So you're on our show today to challenge women.
Yeah, Phil, I'm on your show today to tell women to quit pretending they don't like it rough. I have a friend of mine telling me his girlfriend likes for him to pretend he's a pizza delivery man, and he will take her in front of her kids if she wants, right there on the porch.
Well, that's got to be insane. That's against the law. That's against the law. That's what I find...
Mr. Henry...
No, that's what I find wrong with your work. Take her right in front of her kids. Here is Solange. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
I think you're totally right. I actually think that women... I've been taught through
Thank
society
you.
And everything to be, you know, this sweet little thing.
Thank you.
Style, and,
exactly.
They're just afraid to break, you know, the pattern of society. And I really believe, you know, probably this generation or next, I'm 26 years old, maybe this one or next.
No.
We're on a different mentality. We don't really care what... other people are going to think or
yeah,
are going to say.
There you go.
Therefore, we're not afraid to say, you know what? I do like it rough.
You go, girl.
I would much rather have a rough guy than a wimpy husband
there you go.
Who would make sex a pattern of every night. Oh, go this way.
And
the next thing
Solange?
Is go this way.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is how you like it. And no,
right.
It has to be creative.
Right.
It has to be different every time.
I want to jump in, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
This young lady is saying exactly what needs to be said. These husbands out there, and you heard that lady last half hour, my husband's here and we're holding hands. I mean, what a gay blade. And
well, come on, holding hands isn't gay.
Well, it's just, but I would
love one more thing to say.
Solange, you're 26, dear?
Yeah.
You know what would be fun? You know what would be fun is rope. Do you like rope burn?
Not really, but I remember when I had it, the next day I was giggling about it and daydreaming, like,
Go ahead, Solange. You wanted to make another point?
Yeah, you were saying that you blame women for divorce. And I totally agree with you because, if women were more outspoken, they would let their husband know what it is that keeps them happy. And if a husband is able to keep a woman happy throughout, you know, anything that they want, a woman pretty much would put up with anything as long as they're happy. So,
and what Solange is saying there, Phil, as long as a man can take care of his wife, his woman in bed, everything's going to be great. And
yeah.
I can tell you this, Solange, if you were married to me, I'd play a little game with you. You would be, I'd be the third world Chilean policeman who may be beating a confession out of you unless you give it to me good. And
oh, Jesus. Come on, you guys.
Come on, you guys. Come on, you guys.
What a gay bastard you are.
Yeah, and you call me that one more time.
What do you think about that, Solange? Would you like to do that?
Perhaps.
I'm
sure I'll be at the first moment a little bit shocked, but I swear I know the next day I'll be ha-ha-ha.
You'll love it. And what we'll do is...
I would have loved it, definitely.
You know, and here's something that a lot of people should try. While you and I are role-playing, your husband is there, and we're giving him a little shock from a car battery, just the same way they do in South America. So
okay, come on. Now, guys, this is now B&D, isn't it, man? This isn't aggressive. This is weird.
That would be like more violence.
I'm a taxi driver, and you can play with my fuzzy dice. You know what I'm...
All right.
You know what I'm saying, don't you, honey?
Yeah, I think this guy is just, you know, just typical, I would say... mold by society and
close-minded
to open things, you know?
Well,
most women are afraid and, you know, it happens. It's not your fault.
My wife wants me to manhandler with dirty garden gloves and then I like to pin her arms to the bed and just unzip my pants and grab her hair, you know, and just do something
I haven't done it, but I'll give it a shot.
You
Why
try
not?
That. Here's two things I want you to try, okay? You're the escaping civilian, and your husband is the border guard in a third world country, and he'll beat the confession out of you unless. Or another one that's fun is your husband is a gardener who came in to get a drink of water, and the next thing you know, he's got you out back in the mud. Okay? All right, Solange. All right, and you write
okay,
me.
Okay, have a good day.
My name's Dean Wheeler in care of Mill Valley, California. Okay.
Thanks for speaking the truth.
Thank you, okay.
Bye.
Okay, see, she understands, Phil.
Thank you for speaking the truth.
Well, she gets it. And she's going to go home tonight and try all of that. Man, where'd she say she was from?
Chile.
And I bet she'd make a man's head sweat with a...
All right, pal.
You just feel bad because nobody agrees with you.
Well, you know what? You know the guy that's sounding wimpy and gay to me is you, not me.
Oh, you were the guy the minute ago. That's terrible. That's terrible. Oh! Oh!
Okay.
Help! Help! My wife wants me to have sex with her!
All right.
Please help! What a fag.
1-800-449-8686. I didn't mean to sound... We're talking with Dean Wheeler. The workshop they have is called Sparking Your Marriage. How to get women to finally come clean and admit that they like it a little rough, a little aggressive, and how you can pull that out of your wife. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, the goal is not to pull anything out of your wife. The goal is to...
I understand what the goal is. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler is with us. You're talking about women who may not be in the mood for aggressive sex, but the husband knows that that's ultimately what she wants.
That is correct, Phil. And we recommend they purchase an album of music that we have that gets women in the mood. It is a kind of music that is attuned by Dr. Bill Fleming at the University of Miami and William Jung, who is also at the University of Miami. And this music can get a woman completely in the mood for being pinned to the floor by a man dressed as a hobo or a bag boy from a supermarket.
All right, do you have the music?
Yes, I do. Here it is. And you can put this on, and you come stalking into the bedroom wearing a gas station attendant costume, and there's grease under your fingers. And the woman, you can see, she's just writhing on the bed. She's reading a book, maybe it's some harlequin romance, and suddenly here's this stud, and he approaches. And you can guess the rest.
All right, 1-800, do I have to hear...
I'd just like to if I could, Phil, whoever you talk to, whatever woman.
All right, let me go over to Barbara. Barbara's hanging on. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi, go
Phil.
Ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I just caught your show maybe about 20 minutes ago, so I'm not sure what his philosophies are, but from what I'm hearing, I'm quite disgusted, actually, to think that he thinks that being pinned to the ground or backhanded is a turn-on for most women, or that somebody would be swayed into thinking that might be, you know,
well,
okay.
I, what I'm saying, I think, Barbara, is that most women harbor a fantasy about being aggressively taken by someone wearing a service uniform. And
what do you mean a service uniform?
A man wearing the uniform of a bottled water truck driver, or, you know. You know what I mean, right, Barbara?
No, I understand that, but you said something that disturbed me. I understand the difference between aggressive sex, but there was one point where you said, like, I have men that, you know, they'll come home to their wives and, you know, basically take them in front of their children. I mean,
that was incredible.
That's violent.
Well,
that comment really threw me for a loop, actually.
Well, not in front of the children, but you imagine the children are there. No, there's no real kids there. You just, you're saying, see, what a lot of women like to do is they're being taken and they go, no, Billy, Susie, get upstairs. I don't want you to see this. But there's no one there. No. But the children learn, I think that children will grow up in a healthier home when a woman can appreciate and finally admit that she enjoys it from a crack addict. And
what do you mean enjoys it from a crack addict? The husband's dressing.
You see what I'm saying, Barbara? Listen to the host. listen to the very gay echo of his voice. There's a very gay strain.
I don't think he's gay.
No, I think there's a very homosexual and very wimpy and very overly sensitive kind of tenor and timbre to his voice. Barbara, wouldn't you want your husband to dress like a college professor so he could so you can play with a pointer, as we like to say? Of course. And so listen to this. What does that music say to you?
Well, actually, that just says porn to me.
Porn? I don't understand.
It does.
That's what it is.
I conjures up images of Ron Jeremy, which is actually not a turn-on for me.
I mean, let me ask you something. What do you mean Dr. Fleming at the University of Miami created this?
Yes.
This is, you could go to any freaking porn movie.
This is very specifically... Neither one of you know what you're talking about. This is very specifically created music to inspire a woman to want to be have a knife held to her throat while she's, you know, taking it from the...
All right, okay, I get
okay,
it.
Okay, well, see, to me, I know, I understand that. I can't understand how you're trying to say that any woman
Barbara,
can be convinced of this, to
Barbara,
role play with
allow,
that kind of...
Allow yourself to go ahead and allow your fantasies to go to come true. Allow that fantasy of your husband in a welder's outfit with a torch gun sizzling your hair.
But
allow
that's
your, you know, and
but that's,
what?
I mean,
what about dressing?
That,
how about dressing?
Those images of violence.
No. What if your husband? What if your husband dressed up like a nasty street pimp, and he said he was going to slap you silly and shove a five spot in your mouth when he finished? I mean, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
No, actually, I find it pretty degrading, to be honest with you.
Well, there's not really... Barbara, it's what you want. Listen.
No,
it's
actually
I'm sorry?
It's not what I want. And I can't
Barbara, allow the music. Allow the music to take you. Listen to where it's taking you. Where's it taking you? That's right, to the garage floor. Isn't it?
No.
It's not?
I mean, I can understand that maybe some people might want it,
You're not face down in an oil stain? I don't... Gwen, come here. Barbara, listen to Gwen. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I heard that. It sounded like one of your buddies.
You calling me a fag?
No, I'm
am
not.
Am I calling you?
Am I calling you
a fag?
Look at all that. No, I'm asking Mr. Henry. Look at, come here, Gwen. This is what I do with Gwen. You my hoe. See, she loves that. And then I, next thing you know, our fourth born.
I'm not saying that I want a wimpy man in bed, but I certainly...
Ah, see, now you're...
Me.
You my hoe. Come on, baby. Give me some sugar.
See, now, that would make me laugh, and it would ruin the mood.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll think of something for you, Barbara. But in the meantime,
right.
I want you to get ready to, you know, imagine rope burn across one of the cheeks of your ass.
All right. That's enough.
No,
that is
I don't
enough.
Think so.
Sorry, Barbara.
No.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Oh, okay. That makes me...
Well, you know, you're just Jesus. Oh, I have to get off the phone. I have vapors.
I'm just trying to say it's nasty.
It's nasty. This is the Phil Henry Show. I'll be back. I'm so shocked, though. I have to go to the bathroom.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, the California debate last night. Now, I know a lot of you had to see it because you were forced to look at it because the major TV networks were airing it because for some reason the rest of you guys who live in other states had this jammed down your throat. You've got our sickness and our disease and the death throes of this once great state being shoved in front of your face nightly on TV news. I don't know why. I guess it's because you're, you know, take a look at the great state of California. This could happen to you. You know, once upon a time, man. See, I was born and raised here. Not that that's a big deal. Not that it's a big deal, but 90% of the people out here sometimes seems like everybody's from somewhere else. You know, half the people running for governor from somewhere else. I think Bustamante and McClintock are the only native Californians running in this recall election. Gray Davis is from California. Huffington, where's she from? Mars? Where's that Arianna Huffington from? She's from Mars by way of what? Slovenia? Well, I'll get into it anyway. And when I was a kid growing up in California, it was pretty nice. You know, the freeways are relatively free of traffic, and you had the beach and the mountains. The schools were nice. The public schools were nice. It was really the sun-drenched kind of paradise. And my family moved here in the late 40s from Canada because they knew in their hearts and in their minds they wanted to come to America. They wanted to be Americans. So my folks moved here, and I was born 3 years later. For a lot of you brain surgeons out there who write us letters saying, well, you come from Canada. No, I was born here a legal citizen of the United States in 1952. So get it together, will you? So embarrassing having to read these emails from people saying, aren't you from Canada? No. Here's how it works. If you're born here, you're an American. All right, and they moved out of my old man. He got into business, and it was great. I went to school here, and at one time, believe it or not, the finest schools in the world, private or public, were right here in California, the finest. We had a great public school system. We have, to this day, we probably still have the best university system. Cal Berkeley, UCLA, UC San Diego, these are the envy of many states. But in the process of trying to balance out the original Republican, and there's a reason why Arnold Schwarzenegger mentioned the name Hiram Johnson last night. Anybody know who he is? Hiram Johnson was a very early governor of California. When I say early, the turn of the 20th century. He was a progressive Republican. He was one of these bull moosers. He was a Teddy Roosevelt Republican. He believed that government had a legitimate place in the lives of people, that it could do some good things. Teddy Roosevelt was the trust buster, you know, walk softly, carry a big stick. Any of that stuff ring a bell from history class? Teddy Roosevelt got involved in the business of America because he said, no, you're not going to have a trust. You're not going to have a monopoly. Yes, I believe in business, but you clowns aren't going to buy everything up in sight and basically eliminate all competition, because if you do, I'm going to come in and I'm going to break it apart. That's why they call them the trust busters. And Schwarzenegger says he's in that mold. Well, we'll see. Anyway, this was the place. And gradually, as the state began to absorb more and more people, our social services got taxed. We tried to find ways to deal with it. By the way, the property tax in this state was completely out of control until a guy named Howard Jarvis came along in the late 70s and proposed Proposition 13, which froze property taxes at original levels as opposed to just jacking them into the stratosphere. And that was probably a good thing in the long run. But in the process, we had a lot of illegal immigrants coming here who are now supposedly called undocumented. Now, here's where I think the problem with that whole illegal immigrant thing happens, just as an aside, and then I'll get back to the whole debate, I promise. But let me just say, I always try to see the other side. The other side is this. This is America. We protect the rights of people here. And even if they're here illegally, we must protect them. Because they're coming from other places that are bad. I understand that thinking. I really do. I really understand. I mean, what do you do when a guy crawls under the barbed wire from some sociopathic, disgusting dictatorship and makes his way here to America? What do you say? The problem is this. The illegal immigrants that are in this country right now are making no attempt on their part to be a part of our society in terms of citizenship. I don't give a crap if they're paying taxes. I don't care. You gotta come here legally, documented, and then we can begin to further expand your role in our society. But to come here knowingly illegal and knowingly stay illegal, and forget it, I ain't using the term undocumented. You must think many of us were born yesterday. Undocumented, that's what we're going to say, because they're not really illegal. Yes, they are. They're illegal. Illegal, 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 illegal. They're here illegally, against the law. Well, what are you going to do, Phil, when you send them all back and there's nobody to pick grapes? You know what? I hope it happens. I hope California then comes nose to nose with something else. There's no native-born Americans that want to do that work. I welcome it. I welcome the day that all of the illegal immigrants return to Mexico, and then the native-born Californians can see for themselves just exactly how much this state relied on undocumented or so-called undocumented workers. And it ain't going to be pretty. And I ain't talking about there won't be anybody else to take your order at the drive-thru. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about farming as we know it. Farming. Just farming, as we know it, will come to a halt in this state. So we've dug a hole, and the way to get out of the hole for some people is to keep on digging the hole. Now, that's not how you do it. You got to stop the bleeding. We cannot do this social service thing for illegal immigrants. Ain't going to happen. We can't do it. Giving them driver's licenses is a way of is a stupid solution to a stupid problem, having illegals here in the first place. And giving them driver's licenses is insanity. And for this, well, I don't want to get off on Arianna Huffington, you know, because people are going to think I'm knocking her because she's the only woman running. I mean, I honor her for that. But for God's sake, your image is all shot to hell, Ms. Huffington. With all due respect, you're not coming across too good. You're coming across goofy. Your answer to the undocumented, licensing illegal immigrants was, it's offensive? It's offensive. Is America the only country on earth that's not supposed to offend anybody? Can I just raise my hand and ask that question? Excuse me. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm an American. Are we the only ones that are not allowed to offend anybody? I just want to know, what standard are we being held to? Do you notice how our country is held to a higher standard internationally than anybody else? We have to be squeaky clean. We have to let in every illegal immigrant. We have to protect their rights, even though we can't afford to pay for the social services, medical services for them. We have to. We gotta. We have to protect the rights of a Palestinian professor in South Florida who may have ties to terrorists. We have to protect his First Amendment rights. Rights that he wouldn't even come close to sniffing in an Islamic Republic. Rights that he wouldn't even come close to sniffing were his plans to come to fruition to institute some Islamic Republic in America, or at least in the Middle East. They wouldn't give him the right to sneeze, let alone talk about his needs and his feelings. We have to protect this guy's rights. We have to make sure that we don't profile, because it's offensive to profile, even though we know there is a specific group of individuals that may come from a suspect group of individuals, which is, and I'll repeat it again, and I'll keep talking about it until people throw up, because I don't give a crap. They are men between the ages of 19 and 33, coming from terror-sponsoring nations, who have come here on a student visa. These are specific criteria. This is not profiling. This is specific criteria having to do with specific suspect group. But we're not allowed to protect our country anymore. We are having our hands tied, and we've got Americans now, Americans who are accomplices. We got mealy-mouthed Americans who are saying, maybe we shouldn't have gone into Iraq because your mouth has been in any weapon demanding making. We have airmen, and this is not epidemic, but we got just an example. Why shouldn't I profile Muslims when members of our own armed forces who are Muslim might very well be involved in some kind of traitorous activity? You better believe I'll profile Muslims now. Suck on that. When I'm supposed to just think now, well, this is a great religion, that Muslim. You know, that's a peace-loving. My ass, it's peace-loving. What's peace-loving? Now we got these cats who are members of our own military who are stabbing their own country in the back, huh? So you choose a religion over your country. Is that what you do? That is a short road to hell, my friend, choosing religion over your nationality. Choosing religion over, it's not even nationality. It's choosing religion over a positive, evolving society. You choose a religion that is stuck in medieval times over a great and free society like this, you must be insane. You must have a lot of hatred, man. You must have a lot of bitterness and a lot of hatred. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care. So this was our debate last night. Now I'm going to get into the individual people and how they came across. And how about that guy that was moderating, huh? What was up with that cat? Stan Strathan, I think was his name. He's the president of the California Broadcasters Association. Thank you, I'm not a member of that. And I guess it was the Stan Strathan show last night. He was interviewing. It wasn't so much that they were giving their debate. He was doing an interview. He was like the Johnny Strathan. He was Stan Leno. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. Today on the show, we got Dean Wheeler, who runs a workshop with his wife in Northern California to help women be honest with themselves and expose their need for more aggressive sex, to have your husband come at you dressed as a homeless man with a crack problem. Later on, we'll also be talking, as I said, our recall wrap-up. We'll have our sports file, a flashback with Bobby Dooley, and Frodo the Puppet joins us again as Phil explains the bullcrap. Today, the Levi's thing, right? Yeah, that's going to be, Levi's is pulling the plug, baby. They're leaving America. and more on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we got another mailbag, too, to give you. Boy, these Republicans, you know, their mind is blown by a guy on the radio who can, a liberal on the radio who can support war, who may not be in favor of illegal immigration, etc. It just, it confuses them. They're so pea-brained. Confuses a lot of these liberals, too, these traditional liberals who think every single bloody thing the Democratic Party says is good, we all got to go along with it. I'm a real liberal. You know what that means? It means I want to see my country move forward. I'm not a conservative, which means I want to see my country stagnate. That's what conservative means. Stay still, stand still, stand locked, frozen where you are. And so it really, their pea brains get rattled when I take these kind of opposing viewpoints. Well, they're not opposing. They're entirely consistent when it comes to me. I know what I'm talking about. And these guys just get so upset when I point out how hypocritical they are. I mean, they go ape when I point out how ignorant and hypocritical they are, like Arnold's penis shots, which, by the way, we have blown up here on our wall, and it's still only about 3 inches. I'm joking around. All right, so anyway, the debate last night featured Arianna Huffington, the Green Party guy, what was his name, Elmer Fudd, I forget, Cruz Bustamante, this Tom McClintock, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, as if this debate was going to do anything, convince anybody. I'll tell you the guy that came off sounding the best right off the bat. It was McClintock. Forget about whether I agree with his politics or not, which I mostly don't. But he came off sounding more organized, more specific, clearer on what it is what he wants to do. The Green Party guy had a litany of complaints and what needed to be corrected. Well, no kidding, man. Healthcare, yeah. Immigration, yeah. Business, ecology. It's not debating, and it certainly isn't. I don't even think it's a platform when you say, here's all the problems we have. Everybody knows the problems we got. What are you going to do about it? Then we had Cruz Bustamante. His closing statement was really incomprehensible. It was I couldn't understand what the man was saying. He said this. There's a lot of people staring at us tonight. There's a lot of people who will be watching California. And therefore, I was born in Fresno, and my father worked very hard. Huh? Then there was Arnold Schwarzenegger, who behaved like a man who knows he's got this thing sewed up, baby. He wasn't putting himself out at all. Arianna Huffington clearly frustrated by the fact that her message is falling flat, man. It isn't that you're a bad woman. It's not that you would make a bad leader, Ms. Huffington. Your message is falling flat. It's going over like a lead fart. Same way you're going over. Your image is shot to hell. You are perceived, that whole thing with the income tax, that you barely paid income tax that 1 year, man, that didn't help you at all. And, you know, Schwarzenegger brought it up, and she says, well, I was writing a book that year. Yeah, okay, so in other words, you were like, what, not making any money? What are you talking about? So that man, that hurt you bad. Then you come off with knocking him about women. Which, you know what, you're right. Schwarzenegger's got his reputation, apparently his history in dealing with women is pretty suspect. But you got to understand something. That's his image. And even women are dumb enough to think, well, in Arnold's case, that's okay. Because we need a strong leader. You see, the American woman, at her very heart and her very soul, wants daddy to take care of it. Don't kid me. Get out of here with that whole thing. We're liberated and we're getting stronger. Bull crap. Yes, women are getting stronger. Yes, women are economically taking advantage. And there's a lot of great women as single mothers who are raising their families because the men in that household, well, man, they've been long gone for a long time. I mean, those guys ought to be hunted down and shot on sight anyway. So there's a lot of great, strong women. But the fact of the matter remains, when it comes to leadership in our country, when it comes to leadership in our state, the women of America want daddy to take care of it because daddy has experience at going up against the big, bad world. So a cat like Schwarzenegger, who has a history of abusiveness and disrespect toward women, he's still going to get the female vote. He's got all the Republican women lined up, man. Do you think they're serious when they say they care about women's issues? Not when it means they can get Arnie elected. Are you kidding? Come on. It's embarrassing. Even my wife, who I love, I look at her. She's a member of a Republican women's club. I say, so what do you think about Schwarzenegger posing nude? I mean, if Clinton did that, you know, blah, blah, blah. I laid the whole thing on that everybody, you know, nobody got it, so that's fine. Except for that one Republican who wrote and said, what are you talking about? You guys are just as bad. Oh, yeah, that's an argument, all right. She says, yeah. Well, are you going to vote for him? Sure. Why? Because he's the best candidate. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to go out back now and blow my brains out if you need me, okay? Okay, honey. Click. Would somebody go outside and get Daddy? Because I think I heard a gunshot. All right, so who else are we missing? Here's the thing with McClintock. Let me give you some advice. Any of you guys out there, and this is why you're going to lose, McClintock. This is why you will lose. And I know you keep your word, and you want to be seen as a man who's honest, and I appreciate that. And he's going to run, and he's going to, they think, hurt Schwarzenegger. Possibly, if he could keep that pro-life message out of his rhetoric, he might have a shot. Understand something. I don't want to debate abortion, but when every time somebody says they're pro-life, they're perceived as a right-wing fringe freak. Especially if you're a Republican, and you're done. You're done, baby. You'll never get elected. To say that you're pro-life is to pander to a right-wing fringe. It doesn't help you. It's not necessary because the law of the land is pro-choice, and that's the way it is, and you're just going to have to suck on that one because I got big news for you. Like guns never going away, the right for a woman to choose ain't never going to go away either. Okay? If you think the gun lobby is going to get pissed off if anybody tries to limit gun ownership, wait till you see what happens if they try to overturn Roe Wade. Ain't going to happen, okay? So why don't you do yourself and your candidacy a favor, Mr. McClintock? Stick that crap in the closet. Get out of here with a pro-life this and a pro-life that. Talk about the issues that are important in this state, about getting the economy back on track. Gun control, good for you. You know what? Jesus will punch your ticket when you go through the pearly gates, okay? You go see St. Peter, man. He'll punch your ticket for you. And I was pro-life. Yeah, okay, you're in. That's why you ain't going to win, McClintock, because you guys can't resist it, can you? You can't resist showing that stripe. They don't want it. Do you understand? Even Bill Simon finally got the word yesterday. Simon has gone, he's gone over to Schwarzenegger. Simon knows he hasn't got a snowball's chance in hell. He's supporting that Schwarzenegger now. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, Bobby Dooley yesterday was on our program. She is shocked. She's appalled. She can't believe it that her son, Seth, was turned down by a young lady. He asked her to go to the fall formal. And what makes it even more disgusting is that her son, Seth, is all ripped. He's a water polo star. And the girl he asked out was the daughter of Democrats. And the girl is kind of homely. Actually, more handsome than pretty.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi, and I called. I was listening to this lady, and I cannot believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like impossible. She needs to forget about whether they're Democrats or whatever and get some counseling seriously.
Well, no, I think what's wrong with our country right now is the liberals. The liberals, the liberals, the liberals. Isn't that right, Barbara?
The only thing wrong with the country right now is we are human beings, and we are barbaric, and we cannot get along with each other. Until we do, the world's not going to change.
Well,
but I would seriously suggest you get some counseling.
Why do I need counseling? It's my son who asked this girl out, and she
I would
said
not
no.
let my daughter go out with your son. No way
Why?
On this earth.
What's
the way
what?
He talks to you, and with your attitude, there's no way.
Barbara, I'm going to say something to you, and I don't want you to get angry with me, all right? But I want you to put down your gin and tonic and listen to me for a minute.
I don't drink, dear.
Why not?
What do you mean, gin and tonic?
Well, she's got a very thick tongue.
I don't drink, dear. Well,
why is your tongue thick?
I have no idea. I think you've got some very serious problems, lady.
My boy has lettered in water polo.
I don't care if he's God.
You don't care if he's God?
I don't care if he's God.
If he's God.
With your attitude and the way you're teaching him, I can't see any girl, any respectable girl going out with him.
Well,
can you imagine him bringing her to your house and you insulting her in your living room?
No, I can't. Him bringing her to our house? No, we can't have that. No. I told you, because she's very, she's very handsome. No, we're not.
What do you mean?
It doesn't matter. She had enough respect for herself to say no to him.
No, but it's...
His attitude at home goes to school, too.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes in your living room, you're his own mother.
Mm-hmm.
He says things like that to you. What is he doing on the streets and at school?
Look, all I'm saying to you is that we allowed the Simtriches to be involved in our cookie exchange and our fashion show, even though they are members of the ACLU. Now,
You're making people sound
the cookie
strange.
Exchange.
And the other thing, what do you mean? I'd have her in our home.
Yeah, we know she's not good looking enough to have in your home.
Yeah, she's some animal or something.
Well, I think Barbara understands. Barbara, honey, really, the gin, if you're going to drink gin, drink Bombay.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, this Mepham High thing is really interesting. I heard the kid interviewed, the kid who had his head pushed in a toilet about 3-4 years ago. And, of course, you've heard the news that students at Mepham High, this is in New York, it's on Long Island, Belmore? All right. Apparently, this school is just out of control. I mean, you never heard anything like it before in your life. In your life, they got kids that have, see, this isn't just hazing. Their football team must be run by a psychotic bastard because the varsity players haze the younger players by shoving golf balls up their rear ends. And they got a real fixation, man. They like that jail sex over there in Mepham. Well, I tell you what, you guys may be on your way there. Maybe the coach, maybe he digs that. Hey, coach, what's your name? They put you inside and start calling you Sally, you'll get golf balls, pine cones, anything you want. Anything you want, man, they'll go ahead and park it right up there. Anyway, I went on the website. See, I don't know if you know the story, I should refresh your minds. Students, members of the varsity high school football team, have been accused of hazing, and I mean sexually torturing, younger players when the coach and the faculty and the staff were confronted by police, reporters, and other people trying to get the truth. They are stonewalling it. They have no answers. I just went on the high school website under school news where maybe you'd see a press release. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. On top of that, when the reporters showed up at the school, some of the school, you know, like the C students, some of the D student guys, you remember the guys that were just the bullies and the morons who are now like, alcoholics? And homeless. Those guys are all standing outside throwing eggs at the reporters, flipping them off, and getting physical with them. This one kid who was hazed about 3-4 years ago said that after he went to the school administration to complain about it, then the students found out, and then they started punching him, kicking him, hitting him in the face with cleats, pushing him down on the track when he was running laps. His old man went to the school to confront the coach. The coach slammed the door in the guy's face. Hey, where do you think you live, people? Don't you understand? It just makes it worse for you. I love this kind of stuff because it isn't so much the kids, it's the adults. It's the teachers and the parents especially. These parents. Oh, my God. I'm going to reiterate what I said the other night. Here's what you do. You take the good students, the good quality students, because they are currently at risk in an environment like that. Who knows if somebody wants to take a broom handle and park it up there, you know what. Get those kids out of that school, transfer them immediately to another school in the area. You take the criminally psychotic students, the ones engaged in this activity, and get them into counseling. Get them out of the school, too. Make sure that they're being treated by a head shrinker, preferably with some kind of medication, some kind of heavy-ass, pharmaceutical. Then you take the parents, the faculty, and the coaches, and you bind them together with duct tape in the gym, and burn the entire school to the ground with them in it. There you go. What do you think about that as a solution, huh? And you can stand out in the street and listen to the screams coming from the gym. And that's our way of hazing you. How do you like it? I mean this, and I'll also repeat what I said the other night on this issue. Somebody did that to my kid, I'd be in a jail cell right now. The arrest would be for aggravated assault. I'd probably be looking at a civil suit. And there would be a football coach in a hospital bed with the whole side of his head caved in. And the cops would have the baseball bat there in the evidence room with my prints all over it. That's how I would deal with that. I'm not saying it's smart. I'm not saying it's right. But this is such an outrage. It's beyond words. I wonder what else is going on out there in America, huh? If you have a high school where kids are being sodomized, send it to Butt Pirate in care of the Phil Hendry Show. By the way, that's the name of the Mepham High. They're called the Ass Pirates. I swear to God, it's on the website. Look, if you don't believe me, go to the website. The Mepham High Ass Pirates welcome you to the 2003 season. And now they've taken away their season because, you know, they got disciplined. And not in the way those guys usually like to be disciplined, which is with the, you know, leather straps and hanging from a ceiling. No, this is like you don't have a football season anymore. So if you have a high school complaint or problem, if you're a kid at school getting bullied and the school won't do anything about it and your parents can't seem to get any help and there's just nowhere to turn, send us an email here at the Phil Hendry Show. We'll talk about your school on the air. We'll make it so hot for that principal that he'll be dancing forever, man. Everywhere he steps, he thinks he's going to be stepping on a big red hot coal. He won't be able to sit down for weeks. And if you want to go to the Mepham High website, go to www.mepham.org and get into their little chat room. They got a chat room there, and ask any of those guys if they really swing that way, because if they do, you're having a party next week. If they would bring a couple of gallons of Wesson, it would be appreciated. Other than that, just two sixers of Heine, and Heineken, not Heine. 1-800-449-8686. Did we get our rocks off yet on this debate? Am I all done with this? Pretty much. Well, it was on last night, and who am I going to vote for? I will never say. I will never say, because that's my business. Nobody's business but my own. But I'll tell you this much. Pray to God we get the right person in there, because the state really needs the help. And that Stan Statham dude, you know what? Just because you're the president of the California Broadcasters Association, it don't make you Chucko the Clown. You understand? Oh, I'm Stan Statham. Well, we got ourselves a real wingding, and these are five fine people, and this is a great forum. And ladies and gentlemen, this is never... The guy went on and on and on and on about how great he was, the California Broadcasters Association, and this whole debate like it's never been done before. No, it's never been done your way before, Stan. In other words, it's never been 5 minutes of you followed by what we really came to see, the candidates. What do we care about what you got to say? And then he's... And we're exactly on time, and now we'll go over to... Who cares? I'm Stan Statham, and I'll be your moderator tonight, and tonight we'll be engaging in something that is trend-setting, something that is beyond belief, something that your eyes will pop out of your skull. Recently, I just was released from a general psychiatric care in Atascadero, and I feel better about this because my life is moving along well. Arnold Schwarzenegger is here. I love his films. Arianna Huffington, she's got a great ass. Of course, I'm kidding about that, and I wouldn't want you to take that any other way. My wife said to me once, why not Limbitrol? Why try Deseril when Limbitrol is available? Antipsychotic medication has availed itself to me, and I've certainly found that it has helped me in every way, shape, and form. Also, here is the Green Party. And I said that because I saw something hanging out of your nose, Gus, a little bit earlier, and now I said, and that's why they call him green. And of course I'm kidding. Now, my daughter, who I molested, was an individual, and then it just keeps going. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
One 800 888-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And now it's time for Phil Explains the Bullcrap. I'm Frodo the Puppet.
Hey, Frodo, how you doing today?
Good, Mr. Henry. I want you to explain this to me. I seen in newspaper where a Nigerian lady was going to be stoned because she slept with a man.
When you say stoned, you mean...
Under Islamic law, a lady who sleep with man has rocks thrown at her head after she's buried up to the neck.
Well, they're not going to do it, though.
That's right. Why they not do?
Well, number one... You have to understand something. Nigeria decided that they were not going to stone to death under the so-called Islamic law. A lady by the name of Amina Lawal, she was accused of adultery.
What's that?
Adultery is when you sleep with somebody who is, you know, out of wedlock and have a baby and all that junk.
I was never born. I was stitched.
I know you were stitched, and we don't got to get into your life, do we? So anyway, the lady was sentenced under so-called Islamic law, or what they call the Sharia, to be buried up to her neck and have her head, you know, have people throw rocks at her head.
Jesus!
I know, it's bad.
Why do people let stuff like that happen?
Frodo, I don't know. You see, the religion of Islam as practiced in many countries is stuck in the Middle Ages. Many peoples are stuck in the Middle Ages. Religion follows society. The development of religion follows the development of a society. And Islam has had to develop in very medieval, backward places like the Middle East and some parts of colonial Africa. As the result, people believe that these barbaric, these inhumane, and I would even say blaspheming kinds of punishments are good for their people and for their society.
Will you wake up? Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you understand what I just said?
Yeah, but how come they call for it in the Islamic law to stone someone because they slept with a guy?
Because that's just how messed up they are, man. It's all messed up, dude. Anyway, Nigeria's not going to do it to this lady because international pressure was brought to bear. All right?
Like Yogi?
What do you mean, like Yogi? Like Yogi the Bear?
Woo-hoo!
All right, does that answer your freaking question?
Yes, it does. I don't want to be Islam. I want to be, I don't know, Christian.
You be anything you want, pal. Just remember that when religion starts to run societies, societies go downhill. Religions are only as good as the people around them, and they should only support a society. They should not dictate the terms of a society. By the way, under Islamic law in that country, people have had their hands cut off. I mean, their hands cut off for stealing. So Nigeria did this because a lot of international pressure was brought to bear, and that's a good thing. You see, we really do live in a global village.
Jesus! I'm Frodo the Puppet! This has been Phil Explains the Bullcrap!
Thanks a lot, Frodo. You weren't born, you were stitched.
I came from a loom.
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, so we can put to rest that whole stoning a woman to death thing, huh? Good Lord, where do we live? Don't you see? This is what we have to do. We got to watch out for each other. Otherwise, this woman is going to be have rocks thrown at her head in some barbaric pit in Africa? Some horrific, barbaric hole. Oh, yeah, the Nigerian constitution, they don't let you do that over there. Uh-huh, yeah. You know, that's like Iraq had a constitution, too. All right, Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. We're going to have our sports file coming up next hour. And we also have the, you know, kind of a review of how do you know when your relationship is over? What a dumb question that is. These are these internet questions that get asked. You go to these websites like AskMen.com. We go to AskMen.com just to get a couple of giggles because it's so sad. How do you know when your relationship is over? Gee, I don't know. She's not there anymore? She doesn't return your calls? You know, and you remember the show, The Man Show is funny. You remember that show that they had on with Danny Bonaducci and all the guys sat around? It was like a Male View. What was it called? Dick Clark, Danny Bonabucky and who? Yes, some jackass, right? This show is embarrassing. It was so embarrassing, it was, oh. I'm not even talking about hand cream and stuff like this. It's called The Other Half. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, that's a great show because that takes care of whether you need hand cream or not. And as far as anything else that guys are interested in, just flip on Fox Sports Sunday, okay? There, boom, those two shows. But they tried to copy The View, which is the five women sitting around and yakking. That's what women do. Guys don't sit around and go, so when dating becomes a strain, what do you do? Do you take her out or, Bill, what's your opinion on that? Huh? What are you talking, what? Dating? It's none of your business what I do. Hi, everybody. I'm Mario, and good evening. This is The Other Half. Dick Clark is here, who is very contemporary, of course. He's congratulations on your 86th birthday, by the way, Dick. It's nice to see you. And Danny Bonaducci, who had sex with a transvestite. Now, let's talk about men. And, you know, it's funny. When you ask a woman out, don't you feel kind of nervous and stuff? And do you bring her a rose or anything? What do you do? No, I don't. Phil Hendry has joined us, by the way, the talk show host. Phil, what do you do when you take a woman out? What I like to do is basically go to the drive-thru at McDonald's so we can eat real fast to get back to my house. All right, thanks a lot. You're welcome. This has been Phil on the Other Half. What do you do? Hurry up and eat, honey. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Anyway, ESPN's got the best touchdown celebrations. Touchdown celebrations. They had a little, page there on their website. Vote for the best touchdown celebrations. Warren Sapp's, and I'm quoting now, Warren Sapp's hilarious booty dance on Sunday reminded us that a good end zone celebration is one of our favorite things in sports. Yeah, that figures. You know, like I said yesterday, it's fine. In fact, some of them can be really cool. The icky shuffle was like really so dorky it was cool. But, you know, and Don Shula making, you know, with that competition committee, they made it illegal. I mean, what the hell is that called? Taunting, that's it. Taunting the opposition by doing a dance. Let me explain one more thing among the many that I have to explain. The end zone celebration, whether you want to believe it or not, the end zone celebration first came about as a means by which African-American athletes could have a celebration of their achievement for which there was no mainstream language existing at that time. White athletes would score a touchdown and just drop the ball and run around and be cool. White people understate because That's a kind of a Euro-Germanic tradition that we have. We've got a European tradition of being real cool and stern and, well, you've just won $8 million. Well, that's just great. Yes, sir, that's great. You see it in the GIs that interviewed after World War II. How'd you guys feel? Well, we're just glad to get the job done. What, I mean, you killed Hitler and you did the whole thing. That's, you know, we're just, talk to Eddie. He did it all. It's a real white person thing. I don't know what it is. Is it humility? I don't want to call it that. I it's more like there just isn't really any need. And maybe there ought to be. Maybe it's been shoved so far down in our culture. And when I say white, I'm talking European culture. Up until a guy by the name of Homer Jones. Now, Homer, God bless him, spiked the first football. He played for the New York Giants. I try to remember who it was, and I find it was Homer Jones. And it was a very simple thing. He would catch the ball, and almost in the same motion of catching the ball, spike it, which is to throw it to the turf. Well, it's become, the end zone celebration has become a really huge thing. And I gotta believe that it's not understood by the, you know, the traditional NFL guard, especially the guys like Shula and that competition committee. They don't get it, because back in his day, you were real chill. You know, you just you scored the touchdown and you ran back to the bench. You lifted a cheek up off the bench and farted and just, you know, settled back in for the rest of the game. And that's all you did. And the black players came in and they said, well, what is this? We want to dance. I feel good. So Homer Jones spiked the ball. And since then, they're white and black players now engage in it. And the white players, the way they do an end zone dance is decidedly different from the way the black players do. The black players break into some form of a dance where the white guys do stuff. Like, I don't know who that receiver is that uncorks the top of the football and pretends like he's drinking out of it and then throws it behind him. There's another white guy. Remember Chris Miller with the Rams used to do some kind of a, like he's pumping his hips out. It was kind of a real square thing, but it's cool. Couple of white guys like to spike the ball over the crossbar like they're scoring a basket. Now these are the top 10. And then you're supposed to vote. I guess ESPN narrowed it down. I don't know. I can't remember, man. You know, it's not like I got a collection of the best end zone celebrations. And then the other thing, of course, is that black guys dance because they have rhythm and white guys have that stiff rear end. So, that, you know, it's genetic. You see, the reason why the blacks dance, Phil, is because of the genetic mumba rhythm from the African drum. They respond to it. There's nothing they can do about it.
Well, isn't that a little racist, Professor?
Oh, no, no, no. No, not at all. The black enjoys the dance. He loves when he hears the pumping rhythm of the drum. Of course, his sex organs become very aroused, and that's why most blacks can't get their head into business, because of all of that energy just going, why, look at this videotape I have here. It's just, oh, my God, that's like black porn. Well, why do you say that? I have many collections here, Phil. Just remove your jacket and have a seat. Whereas the white people, why, we like to be dignified, wear tweed jackets, suck on pipes, and molest children. Now then. All right, number 10, the spike. No list of touchdown celebrations is complete without the mention of the classic spike. Homer Jones, wide receiver for the New York Giants, is credited with the first spike, 1965. Number 9. This is the one I hate. I'm glad this is number 9 because I want to get to this one. The Fun Bunch. Oh, my God, I hated these guys. The Fun Bunch was a group of little midgety wide receivers that the Skins had in the early 80s. One of them was Charlie Brown. Another one was Art Monk. Another one was some other little midget. Another one was some other little midget. There were like four midgets, and they were called the Smurfs. And whenever one of them scored a touchdown, all four would collect in a circle in the end zone, do some kind of a dice rolling move, like 1, 2, 3, then jump up in the air and high-five each other, and then jump down. And they were like little Smurfy dwarfs that you wanted to turn a flamethrower on. I hated them. The Fun Bunch! And that's what I say. Now, here's ESPN's description. These Redskins changed the rules. In 1984, the NFL responded to the Fun Bunch's choreographed group celebration by disallowing excessive celebration. The NFL's reaction caused critics to dub it the No Fun League. And in 91, Commissioner Paul Tagliabue once again allowed Fun Bunch-type celebrations. Number 8, the primetime high step. Now, you know that one. Deion Sanders picks off a pass, running down the far sideline, sees that everybody is behind him, so he starts that big, long stride kick. It's cool. It's very cool looking. You know, you got to love a cat, man, that enjoys to play, man. A guy that loves to play football. On number 7 is this Warren Sapp wiggle. Warren Sapp celebrated his first offensive TD with a hippity-hop dance he claims to have borrowed from Beyonce Knowles' Crazy in Love video. A nation was amused by Sapp's rump-shaking, even if Tampa Bay's opponents, the Falcons, weren't. Number 6, the mile-high salute. Good for you, Warren. That's great. Number 6, Yeah, you know, I tell you what, if you dance as well as you make kids. Number 6, the mile high salute. Terrell Davis brought his Bronco teammates to attention with the 10 hut, just a salute. Did he line them up in front of him? He'd line some guys up and they'd just salute each other. Number 5 is the Dirty Bird. That's a real dumbass one season thing. That's the Falcons. And they would do kind of a variation on the chicken, flapping their elbows back and forth. O.J. Santiago, Yamal Anderson, and teammates hopped around flapping their wings. They even got Dan Reeves involved in it. And the whole thing is best forgotten. Number four, the Icky Shuffle. Remember Icky Woods? You don't? Neither do I. In 1988, the Bengals' Icky Woods became all the rage with his hulking touchdown dance in which he heavily shuffled from foot to foot. Then there's the Sharpie, Terrell Owens signing the football and throwing it into the stands. Then the Lambeau Leap, those guys jumping up into the stands. God bless you guys, man. It's a good thing those fans in Green Bay are civilized human beings, because I wouldn't try that at any other ballpark in the nation. In Green Bay, they're civilized human beings, all right? These are actual human beings that, you know, eat with a fork and a spoon and drive their children to work and come home, and they, you know, crap in a toilet, not out back, and they use toilet paper. And they're just normal human beings in Green Bay. So you can do the Lambeau Leap. Try that in any other stadium, and you'd probably get a knife in your back. I mean any other stadium. And then finally, the Funky Chicken. The Funky Chicken was danced by Billy White Shoes Johnson. Those of us who remember Billy fondly, he was called White Shoes because he was a punt and kickoff return guy specialist, and he wore those white sneakers, which later became Vogue. See, white shoes were not always in the National Football League. They wore black or black cleats, and the offensive linemen wore those big black boots that Johnny Unitas wore. But Billy White Shoes, and he started by taping his shoes, then he had the white shoes, and then he'd do the chicken. And you'll notice all of these guys are black, and once again, they have rhythm. Johnson's the man who started all his end zone dances of the 70s, especially the Funky Chicken, still set the standard. Johnson, a punt returner and receiver par excellence, began his NFL career, dancing career in 74, but he had actually started his routine at Division III Widener College, where he scored 62 TDs in three seasons. So there you go. The end zone celebration. It's cool, it's fine, it's good, whatever. Yeah. The guys that I like are the guys that will give the ball to another dude to spike. I dig that. Like the running back who will give the ball to the offensive lineman, and those offensive linemen who never get a chance to handle a ball, they'll take about six steps and try to drive that thing to China. Just throw it like so it sticks in the turf with 1 inch showing. I love that. Here you go, man. Yeah! Dude, it gets a warm-up by like five steps and boom! You know, I love those guys. And again, the dude that was drinking out of the that's cool. You know. Those are the end zone celebrations I like to see. That bump in the helmet thing for a while. Remember McMahon and the Bears? Stop it. You ain't an offensive lineman, McMahon. You ain't even a quarterback anymore. Where are you, McMahon? All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're going to get back into our sports file here. We got more stuff. Also, news about tequila. Tequila apparently is going to be bottled in Mexico as well as produced in Mexico. That could mean that the price goes up and jobs are lost in the United States. And, of course, anything tequila we talk about on our show. And we'll get an update on the Girls Gone Wild scumbags. And Ted Bell joins us this hour with a Comedy Gold flashback. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, we were perusing the news today like we do. We found this one. This is what I'm talking about right here. The NBA has a rookie transition program. Are you aware of this? Do you know what that means? It means they help these young men transition to the NBA. Now, before you start getting all teary-eyed and misty-eyed about how wonderfully, wonderfully altruistic this is of the NBA to help these poor young guys, just remember that the NBA has a stake in this. They don't want these guys running around looking like farm boys, like a bunch of clods just off the train from Rocky Top, you know? Like a bunch of clods with the clodhopper shoes and the one suitcase with the short pants and the shirt's too tight. And they get dropped off at the rail station going, Shazam! This is Nashville? Hell! But you're not going to believe this. And this is why I say what I say, the things what I say, when I will tell you that we are not talking about brain surgery here, that this is unbelievable in a modern society for young people coming out of a college to be this completely and utterly disconnected from how to live a life. But you want to know something? They sure do bounce that ball up and down real good. Just listen to this. I dare anybody to justify this or to back this up. The National Football League, or excuse me, the NBA, has this rookie transition program. And here's what they help them learn to do. Write checks. How to write a check. This is an idiot. This is an idiot. This is the only, and I got more, don't worry about it, this is more. But I want to just say this. This is the only profession in the world where you could barely be able to wipe yourself and still perform. Honest to God. What does this tell you? What do you think I've been talking about? Professional sports is the only world where a guy who's had his ass kissed so much since he was 11, 12, 13 years old, he doesn't know how to write a check, he doesn't know how, and then they have another one, formal introductions, proper introductions. See, I talk to my kids about this a lot. I go, look, people will judge you by your manner in public, and if you have a good public manner, well, you know, a lot of people say, I don't want to be a phony, I just want to be me. You can be anything you want, but if you do not speak the language of the culture, then people are going to call you an outsider. They're just not going to want to deal with you. And knowing how to say, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, how are you, sir? Extending your hand, looking a guy in the eye, opening a door for a woman, whatever. This is part of the language of the culture. The NBA teaches these poor clowns how to make a proper introduction because since all they've had to do is play basketball since they were 11 and they've had a coach wiping their nose and blowing their nose and wiping their rear end for them, they don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to write a check. You think I'm exaggerating? You think I'm kidding? They don't know how to deal with a woman. They don't know how to be in a relationship. They have a videotape of a couple at dinner, and they have all these dumbbell rookies sitting there so they can see how a man treats a woman at dinner? I swear to God, if you don't believe me, it's right here in black and white. Springfield News, the SpringfieldNews.com, and the AP basketball writer, Chris Sheridan, talks about the NBA's rookie transition program. The 59 players gathered in a conference room, whistle at the actresses, add their own comments to the scripted innuendo, and basically act like boys among boys, which is not far removed from what they are. 15 in the group are under the age of 21. One player comments that the couple on stage don't act like they're committed to a 50-50 partnership. Another says the woman seems ideal. She knew her place, didn't challenge her upbringing, and acted perfectly compliant to somebody superior to her. The players' names cannot be used under an agreement which granted reporters access. At a table in the rear, several NBA officials, many of them veterans now working in player development, shake their heads. They can't believe these imbeciles. Now, let me apply this to the Kobe Bryant situation, if I may be so bold. If I may be so bold. Kobe Bryant, here's a young guy, had his butt wiped and his nose blown for him since he was 11, 12, 13. Comes out of high school, goes right into the pros, gets money dumped in his lap left and right, autograph seekers left and right, endorsement deals left and right. Where's his model for how to treat a woman? Now, I understand his parents are married. Are his parents still married? All right. Now, maybe he's got a good positive model, but I'm talking about dating, all the things that lead up to marriage. How to treat a woman, how to sit down at a restaurant and order a meal. They don't even know how to do that. You understand that, don't you? They don't even know how to sit down in a restaurant and order a meal because they've had the coach or the trainer or some other guy doing it for them. They couldn't go into a store. They don't know how much. They can't write a check. They don't know what a traveler's check is. They don't know how to sign a credit card slip. They wouldn't know what a credit card is. They don't know what interest is. They know what a car is. They're pretty sure they know how to drive a car because they just hop in it, turn the key, and the car go fast. And they're pretty sure at some point they got to get gas in it. But beyond that, if they wreck it, they don't know how to make an insurance claim. If somebody hits them, they don't know how to make an insurance claim. They don't know how to apply for insurance. They don't have they wouldn't know a Social Security number or a Social Security card if it came up and bit them on the rear end. I mean, this is pathetic. And this is the reality of professional sports. So you're going to sit down and talk life to these clowns? You're going to sit down and talk life to them, huh? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to listen to these guys like a Kobe Bryant quote Martin Luther King? He wouldn't know Martin Luther King if Martin Luther King came up to him gold-plated, wrapped in gold plating, with $100 bills hanging out of his ass. He wouldn't know him from the freaking green cheese on the moon, which he probably thinks exists. I bet you half those guys. So what do you think about the moon being made of green cheese?
Wow, that's I didn't know that. That's
yeah, it's it was just released in the news. Can you give me a comment on that?
I'd say that the moon can be made of anything that it wants, really, you know, green cheese or whatever. I mean, I'm not involved in astrology, but it would be astronomy. Okay, yeah, all right, astronomy, yeah.
Say, listen, stupid, if I gave you this $20 bill, would you know how to go across the street and get a Slurpee?
I don't think so. I mean, am I supposed to get change or what is that?
That's the money they gave you back. Never mind. I'll go get you guys Slurpees. Do you like Slurpees?
Oh, yeah, man, I drink those every day. I have a Slurpee for breakfast. I'll bet you do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back. I'm going to talk more about this because, you know, this is right up my alley. And more from our sports file. Also, we're going to talk about, Ted Bell will be along and Girls Gone Wild. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And, of course, we want to talk about Mackey and Haddon. We want to talk about Kobe's attorneys because they are a piece of work, these two. They're beautiful. Like I said, there isn't a sewer they won't swim through, and there isn't a toilet at Dodger Stadium they won't sip from to get their client off. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Craig?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bill, I think you're way, way off on criticizing the NBA on this. I mean, I think you should be praising the NBA rather than criticizing. For a lot of these guys, the NBA is the first parental entity that ever sat down and said, look, you Jack Wad, this is the way you should treat women.
Oh,
look, you Jack
Wad,
this is
the NBA has nothing but altruistic intentions. They just pick these young men out of whatever cornfield they find them in, and they just do all kinds of nice things for them. Is that what you're telling me?
No, that's not what I'm telling you.
Well, that's what you're really, I should be praising them. You said
yes.
I should be praising them.
Yes, the fact that they have a self-interest in making sure or trying to ensure that these guys are doing the right thing doesn't make them a terrible, evil entity, Phil.
Now look, it makes them what they are, sir. They're a sports machine. They are there to make money, and they are there to make sure they squeeze as much performance out of their employees. Nothing more, nothing less. Those kids would still be on the street, dumb as a hand of Georgia clay, if they couldn't dribble a freaking basketball. The NBA has no interest in improving young men.
No, I agree. I don't think the NBA has any particular interest in improving young men, but I think it's wrong to criticize them for trying to improve the young men that are playing within the organization.
Actually, if you listen to what I said, I wasn't so much criticizing the NBA as saying that it doesn't take any real life skill to be a professional basketball player. You don't have to know how to sign your name. You don't have to go into a job interview. You don't have to know how to dress in a suit and tie and impress a prospective employer. You don't know how to go out and actually beat the bricks and find a gig. You don't have to know how to write a check, how to sign a lease on a car. I mean, it's one that football, baseball, whatever, hockey, all of these sports simply require an ability to play the game, and then when you're done, they'll dump you out on the street.
No,
hopefully,
no,
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
The NBA and the NFL still have great pension programs.
Do they really?
What about that?
I got a bunch of professional football players who played in the 40s and 50s who might have an argument with you. And these guys are walking around on canes, crutches, their knees are gone, their hips are gone. So, great pension plans?
yeah. Maybe they haven't always done right, but you can't. I mean, you have to look at, you can look at the glasses half full, you can look at the glasses half empty.
You know, sir, as I've said before to many people who call the show, only professional sports do people call up and fall all over themselves to protect and defend sports.
No, Phil, you
politicians,
got me all wrong.
Politicians, you guys crap all over them.
If you look at your company, I'm sure your company didn't treat its employees as good as they treat them now 50 years ago. So you can't look at it in a vacuum,
Phil. Sir, do you speak this glowingly of our representatives in Washington?
Do I what now?
Do you speak this glowingly of our representatives in Congress?
Some of them. Some of them are jerks.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear you say anything about jerks in the NBA. You said the whole entity is just a real sweetheart operation.
No, Phil, you're taking my words out of context. What I called to say was that you shouldn't automatically criticize the NBA for trying to teach these kids, yes, the kids that are under contract, you shouldn't automatically criticize them for telling them or for trying to teach them how to treat a woman.
These guys only care about the way they treat a woman if they play successfully basketball for them. Otherwise, they can go out and rape and pillage and murder as many women and children as they care to. The NBA has no interest. Right now, they got a ball player on trial for rape, and the commissioner of the league says, well, that's really not our interest. We're just administrative. Oh, really? I thought a minute ago you were telling me they cared about these young guys.
No, I'm saying that you shouldn't automatically criticize. Should the NBA go out there and try and rehabilitate people who are not associated with the NBA? Maybe, maybe not. There are a lot of other institutions out there that should be doing that job. It's not the responsibility of the NBA to go out there and say to some kid, hey, this is the way you should be.
I agree. So then why am I supposed to be praising them? I don't understand. You know what?
You should praise them. For the individuals who are in that organization now, Phil, it's hard enough handling $5,000 a month, let alone $500,000 a month.
Right, it must be a really terrible thing, and I really feel bad for them. There's a lot of other kids out there that need help, and they're being helped by volunteers, people that at night teach adult literacy, people who at night go down and drug counsel. Those are my heroes, okay? And I'm getting sick and tired of the NBA, the NFL, and all of them having their ass kissed every time they do something halfway decent. And in this case, I don't see the NBA doing anything decent. I see them protecting an investment in flesh and blood that will wear out eventually. And as far as the pension plan goes, that was fought for by the players themselves with a union. The owners in the NBA had no interest whatsoever in their employees, as most owners of companies don't.
But at least they implemented it, Phil. I mean,
they had to be taken to court.
They
had to be threatened with a strike. They had to be taken to arbitration. They didn't implement it out of the goodness of their hearts.
Phil, I'm not here to defend the NBA necessarily. I'm a young kid who played college basketball, didn't have the ability to play professional basketball. But I can tell you this, I grew up in the projects. I didn't know how to handle money. I didn't really know how to deal with people necessarily. And so to the extent that the NBA says for the first time in many of these kids' lives, hey, this is something, maybe you should do it this way rather than that way. Again, I don't think they should necessarily be criticized.
Craig, I'm going to say something, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, and you're an intelligent guy. I think you're going to understand what I'm saying. This is a pattern that reinforces in the minds of young African-American men that really the best way for you guys to make it in this society, play ball.
That's dead wrong.
No, sir. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, okay?
Why
aren't you talking to me about growing up? Excuse me. Hold on. I'll tell you why. Why aren't you talking to me? Instead of saying what a wonderful thing the NBA is doing, where are the fathers and the mothers of these boys when they're growing up in the projects?
That's my point, Bill.
So the NBA, it's not their job. It's not the NBA's job to be the daddy of these kids. And it's dishonest to say that the NBA is, because all they care about is getting performance out of them. It's a horrible thing to say, and it's a horrible thing to get a kid talked into, oh, the NBA cares about you.
You're wrong, Bill. That is a lie.
That's a lie that you tell those kids.
The NBA is one of the first parental entities that will sit these
That's
kids down.
That's not a parental entity that cares only about
That's
getting performance. That is not a parental entity, and you do those young men a disservice by calling the NBA a parental entity. When they get their money's worth out of those kids, they'll throw them in the street. Parental entity? Are you crazy?
Are you crazy? You're crazy.
You got your eyes closed, Phil.
Parental,
for a lot of
sir.
These kids,
sir.
With no guidance, Phil.
Sir,
you got your eyes closed.
Did you honestly call the NBA?
I know. I grew up in the project.
Hey, I don't care. Everybody's got
it
tough. Everybody's got a tough, pal. Tell me your troubles some other time, okay?
No.
The NBA.
You're not speaking from experience.
Hey,
I'm speaking from experience,
my friend. You don't know how I came up. You don't know how I came up, sir. So don't talk about my life, all right?
Did you grow up in the project?
Hey, buddy, I'll put my life against yours anytime you want, all right? And don't give me your ghetto credentials, my friend. I got a profession and I fought my way into it.
Because I'm speaking from.
All right, Craig. And I'm speaking from the experience. Of being a father and knowing what a father is, and the NBA is not a parental entity, and for you to sell that to those kids, you're killing them. You're crippling them. The NBA only cares.
It to those
you're
kids.
Crippling
what I'm
them.
Saying, Phil, if you listen to me closely, is that the NBA, through this program, is doing something that the parents didn't do. And to the extent that they're doing that, they should be praised for it, not criticized for
the
it.
The NBA
that's
is not,
saying.
You called them a parental entity. And that's,
yeah,
that's a vicious lie.
That's a vicious lie
to tell a young man who had no parenting, real loving parenting, that is unconditional. That's a horrible thing for that kid to believe.
You got it wrong, Phil.
And I'll tell you what, while you were living in the projects, maybe I was going to school, okay? So maybe I got it right. What do you think of that?
Well,
I'm
just
you know, we
you,
all got our cross to bear, my friend.
When I went to college, Phil, when I went to the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina, one of the first things we did was we took classes on how, not took classes, but we had meetings on how to talk to women, how to introduce ourselves. The college was a parental entity. It taught me some things I didn't know. I can't criticize them for that.
I'd like a new paradigm.
If they want to do that, they should be praised for it.
I'd like a new paradigm in this society. I want to quit praising the NBA, and I want to start asking, where are those fathers? And why don't you do that, too?
Why don't you ask
all of those men why they leave and why aren't they there to raise those boys? Let's stop with the NBA and the Citadel having to do the job of men who run out.
Hey, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Phil. That's the indictment. You should be indicting the fathers, not the NBA.
Hey, well, here's what I want to start to do. I'll indict the fathers, but I also want to let young men, especially young African-American men, know that they have other options in this life besides the overriding message that I think a lot of them are getting, which is just play basketball. That's the best way out. That's the best way out. Okay, thanks a lot, Craig. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too, man. Hey, I love you.
All right, thanks. I love you, too. I don't believe in interracial sex, though. 1-800-449-8686. I'm joking around. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, by the way, Ted Bell, stopped by on the phone the other day. He had raced to a lunch meeting at the Ivy, so he flicked a cigarette out of his car onto the pavement, and a woman came by, picked the butt up, and flicked it back into his car. A brand new, or actually a vintage, Ferrari GT. He said, "I almost tore her apart." That's how angry he was.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi, I just got to say, Mr. Bell, that you are really a jerk. I agree with you that the woman was wrong to throw the cigarette into your car, but if you don't... You just make yourself
sound so stupid. Have you got your radio turned up, ma'am?
Stupid. Just because you're Ted Bell... doesn't give you the right to throw a cigarette on the floor.
But what if she gets you throwing it into my
just
car?
Just because you employ a lot of people doesn't give you the right to litter.
I paid $50 to have my car parked by that valet. That means I don't get to throw a cigarette butt out?
No, you should never throw a cigarette butt out the window, no matter where you are. And if you're so concerned about your car, you shouldn't be smoking in it.
Let me ask you a question, Ted. Why didn't you put the cigarette out in the ashtray?
Because I had about $2 worth of change in there. I didn't want to put ashes in the change.
No, you didn't want to put the cigarette out in your car because you didn't want to dirty the ashtray.
Look, Diane, I give a lot of money to the community. The cops are not going to ticket me for littering, okay? That's never going to happen. The Beverly Hills cops are never going to ticket me for littering.
Oh, my God. You just sound like such an idiot.
Why? Because I happen to evaluate Ferrari.
You just think you're better than everybody else.
Look, I'm Ted Bell.
I know you're Ted Bell.
You've said that a million times. We all know that you're Ted Bell, and
Can I say something, Diane? Did you ever see the film Lethal Weapon?
Yes.
All right. There isn't a cop in the Beverly Hills Police Department with balls big enough to ticket me.
Let's not talk about movies,
okay? Let's not talk about reality.
That's just getting off the subject here.
And ever since this show Alias with Jennifer Garner went on the air, women think they've got all this power and they can kick ass on men.
You know what, Mr. Bell? You know why women aren't safe? Women aren't safe because of men like you.
No, women aren't safe because they've been doing stupid things.
Look, I'm not going to disagree.
Everybody
with you.
Is agreeing that the lady did something dumb by flicking the cigarette back in. You can get yourself killed. You're right. You do that to the wrong guy, he's going to pull a gun, he's going to pull a knife, he'll do something, okay? And maybe she is right. Maybe she's lucky that she ran into you. You still got some pretty psycho thoughts, and the fact that you're littering...
Okay, so it's all about me. After the two of you agreed that the woman was way off base, it's all about me. Well, I think you were both wrong.
You were both wrong.
Women should maybe spend a little more time raising their kids properly instead of looking around for...
Oh, my God. You are a male chauvinist pig.
No, can I ask you a question? What's she doing on her hands and knees looking for butts to smoke? What is that about?
I don't think that's what she was doing.
You said...
She got mad that you threw a cigarette butt out, and I didn't hear about whether you hit her child in a stroller or something. If you did, that makes it even worse.
Well, the cigarette butt apparently went down the kid's jumper.
That's what she claimed.
That's pretty serious.
Well, there was a fire in the stroller.
What do you mean a fire in the stroller?
Oh, my God.
All I'm saying... Let me ask you something, Diane. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm over 40.
Well, you sound attractive. I'd like to invite you to Ted's of Beverly Hills for the filet mignon.
That's very nice of you. That's very nice of you, but you're changing the subject now.
Well, let me tell you something,
Mr. Bell. If you threw a cigarette butt that landed in my child's stroller, you'd be in court. I'd be suing you. You wouldn't have to worry about suing the guy whose car you hit.
Wait a minute. How do you know you'd make it to court? I'd take you apart with my bare hands.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. You are an animal.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's a compliment to Ted. You're an animal, Ted, with that overbite. What a handsome devil. All right, here's a little thing that kind of illustrates what I was talking about just a few moments ago with that gentleman. Levi Strauss. You know Levi. You know the Levi jeans? Guess what? They're leaving the country. The production of it is going over to, where do you think? Well, let me just give you a hint. It ain't going to be a whistle that calls them home at night. It's going to be a gong. Levi. Is there a more American company than Levi? How many of us, is there any of us out there that grew up without a pair of Levi's? When you're a kid, you were running around in your jeans, right? When you're a teenager, you're running around in your jeans. When you're a grandfather, everybody's got, wearing Levi's. The world's largest branded clothing maker said the closures were part of a shift away from owned and operated manufacturing that began several years ago. The excuse is we're in a highly competitive industry. Well, no kidding. Where few apparel brands own and operate manufacturing facilities in North America. Translation.
Yeah, what time do you want me to work?
Sure, and we'll pay you 10 cents an hour, and we'll give you a carrot for your donkey.
Hot damn! Hello, I'll make a Levi's for Christine Aguilera.
I mean, I don't mean to make fun of the poor people over there, but look at this is what I'm talking about. Do you understand? The job of business is to squeeze the consumer for as much money as they possibly can and to keep as much money as they can away from their employees. Hence, it all collects into a central location called stockholder and golden parachute and bonus thing for guys in suits and ties, like that cat at the New York Stock Exchange. $140 million pay package. Even the guys that run the New York Stock Exchange, even those high rolling clowns, couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. You know, at some point, even guys that operate in that realm realize there's something just basically disgustingly wrong with it. But let's get back to Levi's.
You see, folks, you can work for a company for years and years and years and years and years, and they'll tell you how much you're valued and what a great person, and we're a family. Yeah? Oh, that's great. Tell that to Chung Kao, man. The guy's going to be pulling his donkey up at 8 a.m. Well, got to get going now. And they'll build a factory on mule power. I'm sure that's the assembly line. And they'll just save all kinds of money and make all kinds of money. And by the way, in case anybody cares, 2,000 people will be out on the street. 2,000 will be out on the street. Do they have a right to make a living? Does the company have a right to make money? Yes. But don't tell me. Don't ever tell me. You guys want the truth? You all squeal about getting the truth in Iraq? You want President Bush to tell you the truth? Why don't you get your bosses to tell you the truth? Start there. Find out how much they really love you and care about you. The minute you become too expensive, Charlie, man, you're out on the bricks. You're going to be down with that lady in the baby stroller looking for that cigarette butt that Ted pitched. And it's probably something weird like a Durham or a, you know, one of them Sherms with rat poison sprayed on it. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.